Chapter 8. During the afternoon, Timothy was busy, and we did not talk much. He was making a hut of dried palm fronds. I sat near him under a palm. Now that we were on shore, I again began to think about what had happened to my mother. Somehow, I felt she was safe. I was also sure that a search had been started for us, not fully understanding that a war was on, and that all the ships and aircraft were needed to fight the U-boats. I even thought about Henrik van Boven, and what a story I would have to tell when I saw him again. I tried not to think about my eyes, sitting there under the palm, listening to Timothy hum as he made the camp. I trusted him that my sight would return within a few days. I also trusted him that an aircraft would spot our fire pile. In late afternoon, he said proudly, "Look! Our hut!" I had to remind him again, stupid old man, that I couldn't see. So he took my hands and ran them over the fronds. It was a hut, he said, about 8 feet wide and 6 feet deep, with supports made of wood he'd picked off the beach. The supports were tied together with strong vines that covered the north end of the island. The roof, which sloped back, he said, was about 6 feet off the ground. I could easily stand up in it, but Timothy couldn't. Not quite. Timothy said, "Tomorrow we be getting mats to sleep on, weave our own, but tonight we must sleep on the sand. 'Tis soft." I knew he was very proud of the hut. It had taken him only a few hours to build it. "Now," he said, "I must go down to the reef and fetch langosta. We'll roast it to be true." I became frightened again the minute he said it. I didn't want to be left alone, and I was afraid something might happen to him. "Take me with you, Timothy," I pleaded. "Not on the reef," he answered firmly. "I have not been there before. If 'tis safe, tomorrow I will take you." With that, he went down the hill without saying another word. My mother was right, I thought. They had their place, and we had ours. He did not really like me, or he would have taken me along. He was different. It seemed as though he were gone for a very long time. Once, I thought I heard an aircraft, but it was probably just my imagination. I began yelling for Timothy to come back, but I guess he couldn't hear because of water noise on the reef. The palm fronds above me rattled in the breeze, and there were other noises from the underbrush. I knew Stewcat was around somewhere, but it didn't sound like him. I wondered if Timothy had checked for snakes. There were also scorpions on most Caribbean islands, and they were deadly. I wondered if there were any on our quay. During those first few days on the island, the times I spent alone were terrible. It was, of course, being unable to see that made all the sounds so frightening. I guess if you are born blind, it is not so bad. You grow up knowing each sound and what it means. Suddenly, the tears came out. I knew it was not a manly thing to do, something my father would have frowned on, but I couldn't stop. Then from nowhere came Stewcat. He rubbed along my arms and up against my cheek, purring hard. I held him close. Soon, Timothy came up the hill, shouting, "Young boss! Tree nice langosta!" I refused to speak to him because he had left me for such a long time. He stood over me and said, "Here, touch them. They're still alive." He was almost crowing over his lobster. I turned away. Sooner or later, Timothy would have to understand that he could not ignore me 1 minute and then treat me as a friend the next. He said softly, "Young bass, be an outrageous man if you like, but here I am all you got." I didn't answer. He roasted the langosta over the fire, and later we crawled into the hut to spend our first night on the silent island. Timothy seemed very tired and groaned a lot. Before we went to sleep, I asked him, "Tell me the truth, Timothy. How old are you?" He sighed deeply. "More than 70. Even more than 70. He was very old. Old enough to die there. In the morning, Timothy began making the fire pile down on the beach. He had a plan. We'd always keep a small fire smoldering up by the hut, and if an airplane came near, he'd take a piece of burning wood from our small fire to ignite the big one. That way, he said, we could save the few matches that we had. It didn't take him long to stack driftwood over dried palm fronds. Then he said, Now, young bass, we must see something on the sand. Sometimes it was difficult to understand Timothy. The soft and beautiful West Indian accent and way of speaking weren't always clear. Say something on the sand? I asked. So they be knowing we are down here, he explained patiently. Who? The man in the sky, of course. Oh, now I understood. I guess Timothy was standing there looking at me, waiting for me to say something or do something. I heard him say, Well, young boss, what do we do now? I asked. His voice now impatient, he said, Say something with a rock, with many rock. Every rock be saying something. I frowned at him. I don't think I can help you, Timothy. I can't see any rocks. Timothy groaned. I can see the rock, young bass, but what do we see? I laughed at him, enjoying it now. We say, help. He grunted satisfaction. For the next 20 or 30 minutes, I could hear Timothy dropping rocks against each other, singing softly to himself in Calypso. It was a song about fungi and fish. I'd had fungi in Willemstad, down in the Black's Market at Reiterkade. It was just plain old cornmeal, but most food has different names in the islands. Soon, he came to stand over me. Now, young boss, he said. He seemed to be waiting. Yes? There was a silence until Timothy broke it with anguish. With the rock! Say, help! I looked up in his direction and suddenly understood that Timothy could not spell. He was just too stubborn or too proud to admit it. I nodded and began feeling around the sand for a stick. He asked, What you reaching for? A stick to make lines with. He placed one in my hands, and I carefully lettered H-E-L-P on the sand while he stood above me, watching. He kept murmuring, Uh-huh. Uh-huh. As if making sure I was spelling it correctly. When I had finished, Timothy said approvingly, I tell you, young boss, that do say help. Then he happily arranged the rocks on the sand, following my lines. I felt good. I knew how to do something that Timothy couldn't do. He couldn't spell. I felt superior to Timothy that day, but I let him play his little game, pretending not to know that he really couldn't spell.